Amy Wingate's Journal, written by Marcia Willett and read by Phyllida Nash.
Wednesday, the 21st of October. At last, Francesca has gone and I can begin. She had no idea, poor girl, that she was keeping me from my new project, and I hope that I gave no sign of my lack of interest in her recitation of the many blessings she enjoys. They seem to become more real to her if she can catalogue and examine them aloud in my presence. How strange that someone so lavishly endowed with beauty and with worldly goods should remain unconfident. Not that she suspects for a moment that I see through the facade of her extrovert assurance or look beyond her stunning good looks and elegant figure. I've always envied women with good legs. By good, I mean those long, very slim legs with narrow ankles, which look so wonderful in black silk. The type of leg you see on advertisements for stockings, its foot flexed and pointed seductively in its high-heeled strappy shoe as it thrusts out from the interior of an expensive low-slung car. Do women really emerge from cars in that studied, careful way? Perhaps. Francesca might. Indeed, now I think about it, I'm sure she does. Francesca has such legs, and a great deal more besides. A handsome husband, beautiful children, a large house. And that is precisely the kind of impression she would like to make. How bitter that sounds. The sour grapes of a middle-aged spinster, no doubt. Will anyone believe me if I protest that I have no desire for a handsome, successful husband or beautiful children? I doubt it. Most people find it difficult to believe that others choose a way of life that is unlike their own. They prefer to think that it must be forced upon them through necessity, or that they harbour a desire to be different. Otherwise, it might be seen as a criticism of their own decisions. This, at least, has been my experience. I feel their pity for my single state, even whilst they complain about their husbands or children. Lucky old you, they say, not meaning a word of it, never having to queue for the bathroom. They smile patronisingly and pat my arm, trying to think of ways to alleviate my imagined loneliness. Francesca does this, and occasionally it makes me cross. I feel cross rather often lately, which is why I went to see my GP, Marianne Westlake. She listened to my list of symptoms, and then she laughed. "It's your age," she told me. "Nothing to be done about it, I'm afraid." I realise that. After all, I am not quite an idiot. It's just these feelings of anger, almost rage. It's out of character and rather worrying, that's all. She looked at me more closely then, and I could almost see the thoughts behind her high, smooth brow. "These middle-aged virgins," she was thinking, "take themselves far too seriously, poor dears." "A friend of mine approached the menopause with a bottle in either hand," she said, inviting me to laugh with her. "It's not a bad idea, you know. Don't brood, that's the great thing. Get out and see people." "Do you keep a diary?" "No, not really." I was rather taken aback at the question. "Only to remind me of birthdays and when to have the car MOT'd, that kind of thing." "It's just a thought. Write down what annoys you, analyse your feelings and so on. You were a schoolmistress. It should come easily to you." I forbore to inform her that I preferred her friend's prescription, one which I was already following, and told her that I would try it. And that is what this journal is all about. Although I feel puzzled as to why I should have started it with a dissertation on women's legs. Possibly because Francesca has just left me and the image of her long legs, in jeans rather than black stockings, was uppermost in my mind. Whatever the reason, I shall not erase it. I have decided to write what comes naturally.